Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're coming to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And we're broadcasting at 101.3 KPCG FM in the Edmond, Oklahoma area, and also online at kpcg.fm. We're also coming to you today in the midst of a bounteous downpour of rain. It's really wonderful to have that today. Well, when it comes to religion, what really matters to you? Is it just a matter of selecting a church that's around the corner? Or maybe cherry-picking a set of beliefs or a denomination that already fits your current lifestyle? Or is it about joining a group that is popular and has a good reputation among your peers and among many prominent people? Is it about doing something for half an hour on a Sunday that makes you feel good about yourself? Is it about basically following doctrines that require no change in your personal life? Maybe the hardest sacrifice you have to make is dropping a dollar a week into the offering basket at church services. But what about the Bible? How many people truly prioritize proving what they believe using the Bible? How many people would do whatever God commands in the Bible? Learning God's truth requires an open mind, lots of study, humility, and obedience. Selecting a church must reflect those values. There's just an outstanding quote here, and this is from The Incredible Human Potential. The late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong wrote, "The true gospel, when viewed with all that it embodies, becomes the most all-encompassing subject that can enter the mind of man. Beside it, everything else shrinks to total unimportance. A full and complete understanding of the message sent by God to all mankind by his divine messenger Jesus Christ involves a vast comprehension of God's great purpose and of events prehistoric, historic, present, and future. I might say it means an overall understanding of everything." In that quote there, Mr. Armstrong is just talking about the message Jesus Christ delivered during his first coming. But obviously that can also be expanded to apply to the truth throughout the entire Bible. Knowing the truth of God in the Bible is an all-encompassing subject. One really valuable part of the Bible is that it gives us an accurate time frame of events leading up to and even going beyond the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. In fact, a third of the Bible is prophecy. 90% of that third of the Bible is prophecy for today. Prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled or is in the process of being fulfilled right now. The Bible also reveals what we should be doing in the days leading up to Christ's return. So right there, you can already see that the fact that the Bible has so much prophecy and it really does make it important to select a church or to select a belief system that prioritizes prophecy. If a third of the Bible is made up of prophecy, shouldn't churches be focusing a little bit more on that? And instead though, most traditional Christian churches basically just avoid that topic altogether. There is one specific event, though, that has recently taken place, and it is known as a pivotal sign of the end time. Today we'll be looking at a booklet by that very same name, A Pivotal Sign of the End Time, written by Mr. Joel Hilliker. It's available for free at thetrumpet.com. Now, this booklet really does present some overwhelming proof that Christ's return is near. And the reason for this is one specific prophecy in Matthew 17. Mr. Hilliker gets into a lot of detail in the booklet. We're not going to go through all of it because obviously it would be ideal if all of you studied that on your own time too. But basically, Christ is showing that there is supposed to be one man who is supposed to come on the scene and restore all things right before the second coming of Christ. Mr. Hilliker does a great job in this booklet of differentiating between Christ's job when he returns of basically restoring all things to the entire world. If you look at the world right now, it needs a lot of help. It actually needs to be completely overhauled and replaced by God's world. Christ is going to restore all things in terms of his truth, his way that leads to happiness and peace forever when he returns. That's not something that a human being could do. So when it comes to a man restoring all things in this end time before Christ's return, it's actually talking about restoring all things to the church after basically 1900 years of darkness, of persecution, of the church being scattered, of the doctrines being lost, basic understandings from the Bible completely disappearing from the one true church. There had to be one man who would arrive on the scene and restore all of these important pillar doctrines of the Bible to the one true church. And there's extensive proof here in this booklet that Herbert W. Armstrong did exactly that. So we're just going to get into these 18 restored truths today. Obviously, we're not going to have a whole lot of time to just cover all of them in depth, but it just shows what's really important when it comes to religion, when it comes to the one true church, identifying which church that is. It's all about the doctrines. It's not a popularity contest. It's not something to make us feel good. It's not something that we do out of convenience or some sort of sense of conscience or obligation. It all has to be proven from the Bible. Mr. Armstrong had to do exactly that. God had to humble Mr. Armstrong and correct him and force him, basically, to come to an understanding of the truth in the Bible. And then in 1983, toward the end of his life, Mr. Armstrong gave this powerful sermon. He gave 18 restored truths. He spoke about them in that sermon. The sad part is the Worldwide Church of God that he founded, even before Mr. Armstrong died, started undermining those 18 restored truths. Mr. Armstrong specifically, toward the end of his life, said that he fulfilled this role of an end-time Elijah to precede Christ's second coming. He was a type of John the Baptist who came before Christ's first coming. A major theme of the Bible is duality, and Elijah was supposed to come again, and he already has before Christ's second coming. But the church around him wasn't loyal. They were treacherous toward the truth. And they actually subtly changed this list of restored truths. They started doing so before Mr. Armstrong died. And then in a list, basically just a few months after Mr. Armstrong died, they had already started combining certain points into one, removing other more controversial points. They came to care way too much about what the world thought of them and not what the actual truth was. But this booklet, thankfully for us, gives us the 18 restored truths as Mr. Armstrong spoke them in that 1983 sermon, not as were amended or distorted by his successors. The first in this list of 18 restored truths is the true gospel. There's so much confusion around this subject in the vast majority of traditional so-called Christians. They don't even know what the true gospel is. So much focus is put on Jesus Christ, the man, on his miracles, on certain, maybe you could say, twiggy issues of his personality or his deeds. They say that he's love. He came to do away with the law because the law is hard and harsh. Yet Christ specifically says in Matthew 5 that he came to actually fulfill the law, magnify the law, show us not just how to keep the physical letter of the law in the Ten Commandments, but to apply the spirit of the law to that as well. Basically, a lot of people today think that Christ is the gospel. They think that he is at the center of the Bible's teachings, and he's not. The true gospel is actually the gospel that Christ taught. That sounds simple enough, except when you look around at what everyone else is focusing on. Christ actually taught a specific message. He came to preach the good news of the coming kingdom of God. This is the world that will soon replace this current world, this world that is suffering and in darkness right now. Like I said the other day, just with mass shootings and so much horrendous division in America, and you look around the world and there's poverty and illiteracy and starvation and disease and war. They're still fighting in Syria. That's been going on for 7 or 8 years now. And yet, we've pretty much moved on from that in the news because it's been going on for so long. There are some terrible problems everywhere we look. This obviously can't be God's world. Another world is coming. And this is what Christ talked about when he was on earth. That's a message of hope. People desperately need hope. Maybe you listening right now desperately need hope. We have to have a vision of this future world. This is a kingdom that will not be ruled by physical human beings who are so subject to corruption and abuse and evil. We cannot be trusted to rule ourselves. We've proven for 6,000 years that we fail every time, regardless of the system of government in place. It could be a monarchy, it could be a theocracy, it could be a democracy, it could be communism or socialism, it could be a republic or a hybrid of any of those things, it could be total anarchy, it could just be armies invading each other and seeing which ones are more powerful. But none of these systems work. None of these systems actually provide true and lasting benefit for their subjects. This coming kingdom, which is what Christ's true gospel was all about, will be ruled by spirit beings. Perfect spirit beings who will never defraud their subjects. They will never cheat anybody. They will never hurt anybody. They will never enslave or lie. They will bring abundance and prosperity and peace. People will finally get along. The Arabs and the Jews will finally get along. Blacks and whites will finally get along. That is something that is actually hard to imagine right now. But it's something that must really encourage us, especially when we see the news and how dreadful everything is. And that's just the first restored truth out of 18. The true gospel message. It's not a message about Christ, it's the message that Christ actually preached. These are things that have been obscured over the years by traditional Christianity and lost, even in the one true church of God. Mr. Armstrong had to preach these things. He had to establish these core doctrines of the Bible back in the church. The second restored truth on the list is the purpose of God. He's actually reproducing himself in human beings. This is a concept that most people would consider to be blasphemy, that humans can actually become gods, but it's in the Bible all throughout. In fact, even in the first chapter of the Bible, it talks about how we are created to look like God and to have the potential of even building his own character. That's the purpose of God. It's not just for him and Christ to dwell alone as the only two God beings. They want to expand their family. God is a family. Even that is considered a fringe doctrine by most Christians. The third restored truth, the holy days, reveal God's master plan. There are seven annual observances every year. They go from the suffering and death of Jesus Christ to pay for the sins of all mankind, all the way beyond that future world that I've already mentioned, to a time when every human being, about 50 billion of them, who has ever lived, will be resurrected and have a chance to obey God. And they'll be given 100 years of physical life, this time with the knowledge of God, to actually try to obey him. There's so much hope, and there's proof of resurrection in these holy days. It's not just a soul-saving battle today between God and Satan, where if you die without knowing God, you're going to hell. And if you die knowing God, you immediately go to heaven. No, you actually die. And there's a specific time when you can be resurrected. The holy days make that clear. The holy days make clear that God has specific timing. He's not trying to save all mankind right now. He's just calling out a few people to do the work. And that's the whole main reason that anyone is in God's church today. It's to do the work, not for us to be treated special. That's the restored truth number three about the holy days. They just lead us along step by step through God's entire master plan and how it's been taking place for thousands of years already. The holy days make clear what step of the plan we are now in as well. The fourth truth, the government of God. Here's what Mr. Hilliker writes on page 25 of this booklet, A Pivotal Sign of the End Time. But God's government is more than merely ministerial ranks and offices within the church. It is Christ ruling his people. The church submits to Christ. Within families, husbands submit to Christ. Wives submit to their husbands and to Christ. And children submit to their parents and to Christ. Christ submits to God the Father. Everyone, every being in existence with a mind to do so must choose to submit to Christ. We all come under government except for God the Father himself, who is at the very top. Now, that government structure is obvious in God's church. It is one man rule as that one man submits to Christ. And there are lots of offices of government underneath that man. The government is what enables the church to get things done. There's not a bunch of bickering and squabbling among a board of elders or whatever you might want to call it. It's one man rule. God works through that one man. Another restored truth here, who and what God is. Like I said earlier, God is a family. He's not a trinity. He's not limited to himself and Christ. The Holy Spirit is not a living being. That's something that most Christians would disagree with. The sixth truth here, God the Father is preeminent. So like I already alluded to in that government of God point, Christ even submits to God. And he repeatedly said, my Father is greater than I. He didn't say, oh, forget about him. I'm in charge now. That's absurd. Even Christ submits to the Father. The Father has powers such as to call people, open their minds to him, that even Christ doesn't have. God the Father is preeminent. another restored truth here, what and why man is. Page 28 says, understanding the purpose for man to be born into God's family enables you to understand what and why is man. If you talk to any person on the street, any person you come up to at random, and you just asked, you know, why are you alive? I definitely wouldn't suggest starting a conversation like that. But how many people can actually answer that question? Can you answer that question? How deep is your understanding of your daily physical existence and what you're supposed to be doing? Well, Mr. Armstrong taught to the church exactly what that purpose is. Something really helpful about this booklet, A Pivotal Sign of the End Time, again, you can read that and download that for free at thetrumpet.com, is that with every restored truth, a church book or booklet, a Philadelphia Church of God piece of literature is recommended. So with this point, What and Why Man Is, that book, The Incredible Human Potential, is offered. Another restored truth here, the spirit in man. This is the only thing that distinguishes us from the animals. We have the same type of physical brain composition as they do, and yet they can't think and reason and make decisions. They can't appreciate art and culture and literature. They can't build and plan and design like humans can. They can't love like humans can. And it's all because there's a spiritual component combined with the human brain that makes all of our extra capabilities possible. Page 29 says, the real value of a human life lies solely in this human spirit as it works in combination with the human brain. Another restored truth here, truth about the Holy Spirit. There's a lovely analogy about physical birth and how it relates to spiritual birth. Life physically begins at conception. There's a gestation period of 9 months, and then the child is born. Likewise, spiritually, spiritual life begins at a spiritual conception. When a person receives the Holy Spirit, that's just the beginning. They're not yet born again. As long as you can pinch yourself and you're still made up of physical matter, you're not born again. But you might be on the right track if you've been baptized and if you've repented. Another restored truth is that the church is the first fruits. As was mentioned earlier, God has perfect timing, and he's calling some people out now. He'll work with the rest of mankind in the future. Another restored truth, the millennium. This is the thousand-year rule of God over the earth after Christ returns. And this will be a stark contrast to the world we see around us right now. Like I said before, another truth, the resurrection to judgment, how we all really do die at death. We go to the grave, and the only thing that preserves us is our human spirit. It's like a mold of our existence while we were alive. And that can then assist with us transferring into a spirit being at resurrection. There are some other restored truths here, the modern identity of Israel. Israel's identity opens prophetic understanding, the identity of Babylon and her daughters. These show the importance of prophecy. We have to understand the identities of nations in the Bible if we're going to know what God is saying about those nations. If we don't understand who Israel is, who Judah is, Assyria, the king of the south, well, prophecy is not going to mean very much to us. We have to know the modern identities of those nations to make sense of prophecies that are about to be fulfilled. Another restored truth, Satan has deceived the whole world. If you're listening to this right now and you're laughing, well, you probably are deceived. Obviously, the point of being deceived is that you don't know that you're deceived. Satan has deceived the whole world. This is Satan's world. He doesn't want people to understand what we're talking about right now. Another restored truth, we are to be separate. This means those who are called and chosen today have to think and act differently from the sinful world around them. We can't compromise with the world. This is Satan's world. They're living Satan's way, and it's not right to try to blend in by living that same way. Two more restored truths here, second and third tithe, and also the authority of the sacred calendar. So God even has truth that he revealed through Mr. Armstrong to the church about finances and about dates, how to basically count the holy days on the calendar, how to track which day is the Sabbath. And after going through these 18 restored truths in the booklet, Mr. Hilliker ends with an admonition to hold fast. This is page 42. The true gospel that had not been preached for 1900 years, God's form of government, God's nature, the purpose for human beings, God's inspiring plan for non-Christians, the meaning behind holy day observances, the key to understanding biblical prophecy, the resurrection, and many, many others. These were the truths that the first church era, founded by Jesus Christ, had. Truths that God inspired to be recorded in the Bible. Some of them are traceable through the subsequent eras of the church before they were lost. But God used Mr. Armstrong to restore all of them. And again, this is a pivotal sign that Christ's return is near. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.